This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk about the swamp. We love calling it the swamp, but here's the truth. The United States government is the largest criminal organization on the planet. Now, this did not happen overnight, and this is not a permanent state of affairs, Lord willing. But decades and decades and decades of negligence from us, the citizen, we have to own it, myself included, negligence from us, we didn't care enough about politics or primaries, it has created this system where Washington, D.C., really is a den of corruption, where these people bloodsuck money from the taxpayer, from you, from me, and hand it out to each other. They hand it to their friends, they hand it to their allies. And what is it that criminal organizations fear the most? They fear infiltration, being exposed, and being held accountable. There's a reason mob bosses won't speak on the phone with their members anymore. They have to walk and cover their mouth and have whispered conversations. That exact same thing is at work inside of the United States government, you see. The reason the swamp has not drained, even though you want it drained, even though Trump wants it drained, is there is a cabal there. Well, now, you're probably thinking about Democrats, but set them aside. Democrats don't have the House. They don't have the Senate. We do. But you see, the established people, the people who've been there a long time, most of them, the Tom Tillises of the world, they don't see themselves as opposing Democrats or fighting for you. They know how they have to lie to you about that, but that's not how they see themselves at all. They see themselves as knowing they have to pretend they'll oppose Democrats, but in reality, they are there to protect the criminal organization from prosecution. Remember what Tom Tillis said? It was so revealing about why he opposed Ed Martin for U.S. attorney. Here he was.
He is, I don't believe he's being advanced to the markup. I met with Mr. Martin. He seems like a good man. Most of my concerns related to January 6th, and he built a compelling case on some of the 15, 12 prosecutions that were probably heat of the moment bad decisions, but where we probably have a difference is I think anybody that breached the perimeter should have been in prison for some period of time. Whether it's 30 days or 3 years is debatable, but I have no tolerance for anybody who entered the building on January the 6th, and that's probably where most of the friction was. If Mr. Martin were being put forth as a U.S. attorney for any district except the district where January 6th happened, the protest happened, I'd probably support him. But not in this district. At this point, I've indicated to the White House I wouldn't support his nomination.
Has Trump called you yet?
Mr. President, the President and I talk all the time.
Why do you think that is? Do you really think Tom Tillis sits at home at night, stresses about January 6th still? You think it bothers him a lot? January 6th, a slightly spicy, unarmed protest. You think that really gets to Tom Tillis? Of course not. Don't be naive. You know better than that. So if it's not that, if he's lying about the reason, then why? Well, the why is what matters most. And in fact, we're going to talk to Ed here in a couple minutes. U.S. attorney in that area, he is the shield that protects the system, that protects the swamp. The shield. That's the role that that particular position has played for a long time. Sword and shield. And if you were to actually get a reformer in there who really genuinely wanted to drain the swamp, it would be disastrous, not just for Democrats, for people like Tom Tillis. So once again, when it came down to it and we were almost ready to get something done, establishment Republicans stuck their foot in the door so it couldn't close all the way on communism. This happens because they're trying to protect the criminal organization they are very much a part of. All that may have made you uncomfortable. I hope it did, but I am right. Now, Ed Martin will be a very revealing interview about this because Ed Martin was, as you just heard, the man who was about to be U.S. attorney until the GOP, not Democrats, the GOP stopped him. What kind of a guy is Ed Martin? Is this some dangerous person? Let's talk to him next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love feeling good. It's kind of a dumb thing to say, though, isn't it? Everybody loves feeling good, but I feel so much better now than I used to. Why? What am I doing? Well, for 3 years, a little over 3 years, actually, I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. I sit down, I have my breakfast. Today was bacon and eggs. I have my breakfast, and I have my male vitality stack from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. And the results in my life are unbelievable. My energy level, the way my mind feels. Does that make sense? My mind just feels like it works so much faster than it used to. My mood, my wife comments on how great my mood is. Change your life with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. They have stuff for women, stuff for men. Whatever you're looking to, whatever you're looking for, Chalk has something for you. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and get a subscription. Well, what is this whole DC attorney thing about? What does he do? What kind of ugliness has taken place there? We figured, being as how we're doing a little special on all this, it'd probably be appropriate to bring in friend of the show and hardcore one of us, Ed Martin. Trump weaponizations are, and now what is this new thing? Associate Deputy Attorney General. I mean, I'm happy for him, but I wish he was there draining the swamp as U.S. Attorney in D.C. Ed, I'm going to get over my disappointment. Will you please explain what this D.C. attorney role actually is for stupid people like me who don't understand this DOJ court system? But what do they do there?
Well, first of all, Jesse, thank you to you and to your so many viewers and listeners who were great about fighting for me as we were going through this confirmation is great. And the process was the punishment. And here we are. And, President Trump is good at this. He kind of turns it around. And so you mentioned, look, I have actually three hats to wear. OK, so I've got this hat. It's called an ADAG. Associate Deputy Attorney General. And in the bureaucracy, that's actually a pretty cool spot. There's a lot of really talented people. The cool thing about it, Jesse, is everybody there is a Trump appointee and a hard-charging guy. And we work with like Emil Bove, who's been absolutely kicking tail. He's actually the first among equals. He's actually the principal Associate Deputy Attorney General. And then it's a good gig. And everybody's got different areas that they take on. And some folks are looking at the cartels and things, and some are U.S. attorneys. My docket is this weaponization czar, this working group. President Trump day one said, get after weaponization. Pam Bondi on day one said, here's a list of some things to do. And this working group started. We've been in that. Jack Smith, Catholics being targeted, school boards targeting parents, a whole list. And so we're getting after it. And then the last thing I got put, though, Jesse, is this is for you, because I'm going to make a retroactive pardon of Jesse Kelly, all the crimes he committed when he was in the Marine Corps, mostly off base, obviously. He's pardoned. And I don't know if I have that authority. I've got to look closer at the law. But I mean, if Joe Biden could pardon everybody under the sun, why can't I go back in time to that time you left base? And like Don Imus, you know, remember that Don Imus incident? I know that happened to you, too. So anyway, but actually, you put these things together, Jesse, and we're running against the clock, okay? Running against the clock to expose the truth and hold people accountable. And I know people are frustrated at the speed. That I agree. You should be pissed. You should be honest all the time. But I'm in a position now and in the Department of Justice to go after the weaponization and to expose it and hold them accountable. And I wish it happened faster. I wish I stayed in my job as U.S. attorney. But the president has let us loose on this. I have been let loose. I don't have to be confirmed ever again. I'm not going to do that. You know, I have to do it because I couldn't get it done that time. And so here we go. And I think people are going to be happy with the results. And it's going to be important for the country.
No, I love it. And I am curious, with about 18 different titles, which one goes on the official government business card? You have to just pick the coolest one, right?
I think weaponization czar, you know, because I got accused of all this Russia stuff. So I figured go right into it. And I walked into my house. I said to my wife, you have to call me general now, you know, because associate deputy attorney general. I said, General Martin. And she said, it's not going to happen. And I said, what about czar? And she said, we'll try czar out and see. So, there's the business card and then there's in your own home what you can get away with. And so far, czar is carrying the day. Now, pardon attorney, I do walk around the streets and I say, pardon me, you know, just to get the people thinking about the pardon office.
You know what? I'm actually glad you brought that up for a couple of different reasons. One, I probably am going to need those pardons from my Marine Corps days, and I'll send you a list afterwards. It's going to be fairly extensive. But two, the Joe Biden pardons, they are on people's minds because it's obvious that it wasn't Joe Biden doing these things, record pardons of some of the most detestable scumbags we have in our country. And I'm not naive. I don't think those pardons are going to be undone, but is there anything that can be done?
Well, look, one thing is this. The pardon power is plenary. If people don't like it, we have to amend the Constitution. In other words, the pardon power is the president gets to pardon, and I think that's real. But it's a different question about the conduct, the way pardons were done. In other words, a pardon properly done is plenary, it's complete and all that. But if there was fraud involved, if there was something, a reason that it happened, that would be something you'd question. And we saw something that no one's ever seen. Look, Donald Trump has done historic stuff, and then people say, we've never seen a president who tweets or does this, that, the other thing. What Joe Biden, the unprecedented nature of what he did, back in time, blanket pardons for any crime, 14 years, this is not normal. And he did it over areas that we see major questions. The pardons over COVID, blanket pardons over the COVID stuff. You know, again, at a certain point you say, might be plenary, might be allowed, but it looks like it's covering things up, right? It looks like we've got some conflict. So again, we are not supposed to be wimps. I know, Jesse, you know this. We're not supposed to be, you know, silly about being soft. We should ask questions. If you do stuff that's unprecedented, we should ask questions. When the EPA transferred $6.7 billion with a B to a nonprofit that was created in the last year by three other nonprofits that are wholly subsidiaries of three other nonprofits, you say to yourself, largest transfer of wealth in the history of America to a nonprofit that looks like a shell set of companies. Is it criminal? Not sure yet, but we ought to ask questions. Same thing with the pardons, right? And so here's what we know. Under Joe Biden, we had the government used as a weapon to destroy our citizens in a way. This isn't politicization. This is weaponized against the citizens. And so we've got a responsibility. The president said, go and get it. And we're going to expose it. We're going to hold people accountable. And by the way, Jesse, and they don't want me to do this. They don't want me to say this next part. If you got taken to the woodshed by weaponization of the government, you should be healed. Now they're like, Tom Tillis said, are you for reparations? I said, I'm not for reparations. It's a stupid term that they use regarding slavery. What I am for is that the government destroys someone, they should have to clean it up. And it's not just Strzok and Page getting $1 million because Biden is in charge and they just want to pay them off. I'm talking about if you sit in jail for 3.5 years because Lisa Monaco lied and the 1512 charge was a lie, then you ought to probably be able to say, what can I do to figure out where, not just to get my life back, to get my life back together. I think that's real. And I think that we need, the president is saying, hey, we're going to put it all together and try to make government trustworthy and do the right things. And that's what we're getting after.
I'm glad you brought that up too, Ed, because a lot of people did have their lives destroyed by that DC court system. And something that I found just so odd was Tom Tillis, obviously I'm not a fan, as everybody knows, but Tom Tillis cited January 6th and your position on it specifically as the reason why he didn't want you in there. He even said, well, I'd be fine if he was anywhere else except for DC. What in the world about January 6th stuck in his craw so badly that that's the reason we can't have Ed Martin here?
Well, I'll answer two ways. And I, you know, I probably, again, I'm not good at this, Jesse, in terms of being politically correct or if I'm supposed to behave or something. But look, two things. Good. One, as a lawyer, as someone who cares about fighting, and I have to be a lawyer, fighting for people who are getting wronged, you're supposed to be allowed to do that. It doesn't mean that I agree with everything they said. It doesn't mean that I agree with everything everybody did. You know, when someone punches a cop, you should get in trouble. You should be prosecuted. I got no problem with that. But the rest of this rhetoric about things and what Tom Tillis and others often, when you listen to them, you say, you guys are subscribing to a reality I can't see. That looks like a hoax. And the hoax is that January 6th was everyone there was an insurrectionist that deserves to be judged as an insurrectionist. A, that's not America, and B, it's not true. And so I see these guys and they say, everybody who went in that Capitol deserves what they got. Well, as you know, Jesse, cops were, law enforcement was letting them in. They were welcoming them in. They were, you know, you can't act like that, but they believe the hoax of January 6th. And why do they believe the hoax of January 6th? That's pretty easy. As soon as January 6th happened, the media spent hundreds of millions of dollars. Liz Cheney and her select committee spent hundreds of millions of dollars. The whole place spent hundreds of millions of dollars. People were tried and put in jail to say it was what they said it was. And it was a lie. And the fact is we broke through it. And a lie is clear, but a whole lot of people are under the spell of the J6 hoax. And when you meet them, you're like, you can't be serious. And they are serious. We got to break the hoax, by the way. But we also have to not let the people that were destroyed and being damaged by the hoax damaged and one minute more.
Ed, what is, I understand things take time, as you mentioned. Draining the swamp takes time. It took decades to get here. You can't clean it up overnight. So what is a realistic expectation from people watching, myself included, who want criminals inside of the government arrested? I'm thrilled with the newest cartel guy going to prison. Yeah, I mean, throw the pedophiles in the Pacific Ocean for all I care. All that stuff sounds great. But if people have committed crimes with either party for any reason with their government position, for me, that's as serious as any crime on the planet because you're taking a responsibility and you're abusing people's rights with it. But is it realistic to think we're going to see government people go to prison in the next 4 years?
Yeah, yes. The answer is yes. And here's what I'd say. Number one, everybody who's watching, and including you, Jesse, don't stop being pissed at the speed. We need to be faster. So don't stop, even at me, even at the good guys, right? And everybody, I agree with it because we're running against the clock. The clock is used against us. The Article III courts are used, they slow us down. And I can tell you, as a prosecutor, you're looking at this, you're saying, this case is going to take 18 months. And you're thinking, 18 months from now, how are we going to be able to win the battle for the future of the country? So be mad about the timing. I just would say this. I'm in this and I'm not, you know, I don't care about being spit at. I mean, last week, but I can tell you, I get threats against me and my family and all, and everybody does it. It goes into this. And so at this level and where we are, it's worth it because it's now or never. I mean, Jesse, you've written a book on this. You do it all the time. It's now or never. And so, yes, we want to drag them out when they're bad guys in cuffs, but we also have to realize every day they are. Todd Blanche is the real deal. That's the DAG. He's the real deal. All day long, he's looking at ways to get at these people. They try to destroy his client and him. You know, he represented Trump. And so I guess trust me is one way to say it. But more importantly, you know, look, Reagan said trust and verify about the Soviets. I say when it comes to government, all of you should distrust and verify. Distrust everything even we say and verify it. Make us show you what we're doing. But just remember, I think there's three parts of this. One is to name and shame. And I did a press conference. They said, you can't do that. And I said, watch me. Name and shame. I mean, these guys are scum. The guys like Brennan and Schiff, these people are destroying the country. Name and shame. And I know what you're going to say next. The next one, though, is hold them accountable. And we have to. We have to arrest people. We have to charge them. We have to have sophisticated trials. If it's got to be RICO, we've got to get there. And it has to come. I'm with you. But it's coming. It's not there. And then the last thing is we got to heal each other and the people that have been really damaged. That's, you know, it's now or never for America. That's what's at stake. And all I can say is, I'll come on your show anytime you want, and I'll say to people, look, here's where we are. Here's what's going on. I got to tell you, like Bongino got in office, and when Bongino got in, I can tell you, the energy of the FBI, the urgency to start getting stuff done changed 100-fold. And every time I talk to him, he's on this stuff. So not fast enough, I get it. Everybody wants arrest. I'm just telling you, it's harder than you think to get control and to get these things going. You don't come in and go, you're all fired and let's go. You're dealing, it's treachery all the time. We're behind enemy lines, Jesse. It's like being in Vichy, France, and I'm a Jedburgh, and Bongino's a Jedburgh, and we're signaling to each other, trying to fight through this. That's what it's like.
Ed, steak is on me next time I come to D.C. Very few people have an open invitation on this show, but general, since you're a general now, you most definitely do. I appreciate you very much. Talk soon, brother. All right. I love that guy. Let's talk to Mike Benz. He knows a little bit about government corruption. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love my cell phone company because my cell phone company's CEO was Mac V. Sog in Vietnam. Two tours. You know I nerd out on the Mac V. Sog stuff. Those guys are just unbelievable. Highest casualty rate in Vietnam. And the CEO of Pure Talk walked those jungles. Two tours. Why does Pure Talk do all the patriotic things it does? They even hire Americans. Why does Pure Talk give back to veterans when they give back? But why? Because their CEO loves the United States of America. And that's why I love Chuck. I'm so tired of giving my business, I'm tired of giving my money to companies who hate me and my values and my country. I am proud to partner with Chuck. You can keep your cell phone, you keep your cell phone number, or get a new one. They have everything, and you'll pay less, by the way. You'll save money. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Look, I've talked to you before many times about the GOP and GOP specifically senators, and you can tell what their real role is. It's controlled opposition. They're there to pretend to oppose all this communist filth, but right when it comes down to actually draining the swamp or stopping something, that's when they step in and then stop you from stopping it. They do it all the time. For instance, the Doge cuts. All that Doge stuff gets all kinds of flashy headlines. Hey, $50 million for tranny frogs in Zimbabwe, and you're mad and I'm mad, but they actually tried to get those cuts through. Actual official cuts, you see. 26 senators, Republican senators, said, nah, keep funding it all. 26 of them. Let you know what they really stand for. Joining me now is someone who understands quite a bit about how deep the swamp is. You know him already. His name is Mike Benz, Executive Director of Foundation for Freedom Online. Hey, Mike, why in the world would a 26 Republican senators want to keep funding tranny frogs in some random country?
Their donors, their political lifelines. This has been the real pillar of the Republican Party since the early 20th century, has been the Chamber of Commerce companies, the international multinational companies that are technically domiciled here but depend on the battering ram of the Pentagon, the State Department, and the Central Intelligence Agency in order to preserve their markets, in order to preserve their supply chains, in order to expand their profit margins. And so this is why you had this big USAID lobbying arm called the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition, which came together in the early 1990s at the end of the Cold War, when the Cold War was over. So the American people were saying, hey, there's no need for NATO anymore. There's no need for USAID, or at least as large a function. There's no need for all these State Department grants because the Cold War is over. We're supposed to be having a peace dividend. And it was right at that time that something called the U.S. Global Leadership Coalition formed, which is today sort of the largest lobbying arm for USAID on the U.S. Congress. And they work with both sides of the political aisle. They're partnered with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And what you see here are Republicans who are beholden to multinational corporations rather than to the nation here, the United States of America.
Mike, can you lay out exactly what kind, and I'm talking about amounts of donations we're talking about, and I say it this way, let me preface it with this. It takes a ton of money to run for United States Senate. John Cornyn, that loser, he's going to run for Senate again next year in Texas. It's going to be $30, $40 million. I realize that's a lot of money, so it must cost a lot of money to buy a United States senator, right?
Well, they're pretty cheap, actually. There's some great quotes. I can't remember how that, I don't want to misquote them, but there's some great quotes about how cheap it is to buy Congress. But the fact is there is a huge lobbying pot. Everyone knows when they see, for example, military contractors or big energy companies or big pharma companies who come in and buy, for example, the media, sponsored by Pfizer, we saw constantly during media hits on Fox News or MSNBC. We see all these corporate interests are the same groups that go in and provide the big lobbying base for Congress as well. For example, even folks like George Soros, who was the largest single donor to the Democrats. George Soros runs massive hedge funds and private equity funds, like famously the Quantum Fund, where he really got his start. And these invest in portfolio companies. For example, George Soros invested in Halliburton, Dick Cheney's company for oil and gas refining. What you see is, there is this giant pot. The maximum individual contribution is only a couple thousand dollars from an individual. But if you have multinational corporations, they can put millions of dollars into a super PAC, and that money is thousands of times in order of magnitude of what an individual can do in their individual capacity. And so this is effectively what we see here. We saw these multinational corporations clamor for more USAID funding because USAID opens their markets for them. It's like a subsidy. It's like a subsidized business. When we pay for transgender dance festivals in Bangladesh in order to overthrow a government who is placing caps on the amount of petroleum that they're sharing with the U.S. or preventing the installation of a U.S. military base there, because that country is cracking down on the transgender population, well, that ends up manifesting as a back-channel conversation between the petroleum and the military companies with the Biden administration. The Biden administration then tasks groups like IRI and the National Endowment for Democracy and USAID to then work with the transgender population there, fund transgender dance festivals. That's why you'll see this in usaspending.gov in the grant list, and then work with them to mobilize street protests, to do demonstrations, to create human rights violations predicates in order to oust that government. That's exactly what we saw happen, for example, in that country with the documents that I published that originally came from the gray zone in just right the waning months of the Biden administration. But this is how you, this is so you can understand, this is to profit these multinational corporations who represent the donor drafter overclass of the guts of our government.
Ugh, it's so ugly. So a lot of this, what you're saying is a lot of this international LGBTQ activism garbage that is funded by USAID is actually about something else. It's about money. It's about U.S. influence. And we're funding these things to destabilize governments who have angered us.
Yeah, they don't give a flying fig about LGBT. I mean, there are some true believers, but they don't really represent the senior class of the U.S. State Department or the U.S. intelligence community, or the U.S. Pentagon. It's very cynical and self-serving. They will immediately subsidize and pay for the most extreme anti-LGBT groups in the world when it suits their purpose. They will fund, for example, the Taliban. They will fund ISIS. They will fund Al-Qaeda. They will fund, I mean, this is what we saw, literally, the U.S. Institute of Peace doing this. And we saw $122 million or something to that effect from USAID funding these groups who are not exactly LGBTQ's best friend. What you see, and same thing with Nazism, you know, they talk all this stuff about fascism and Nazism being the threats, and then they'll turn around and fund the Azov Battalion if it's geopolitically useful against the Russians and to seize control over the energy market in Eurasia.
Golly. I want to talk about the Ed Martin thing, because I was hot on this. I know you were hot on this. What was it about Ed Martin? I mean, it's U.S. attorney. It's a big deal, but it's just one area. What was it about Ed Martin that was a bridge so far that GOP senators like Tom Tillis would actually risk the wrath of Donald Trump to stop him? Why?
Well, D.C. happens to be the home court jurisdiction of the swamp. The fact is the D.C., you know, the D.C. district courts are where all of the Trump-related litigation, as in terms of his government policies, are litigated. This is why the Chief Justice Boasberg has become such a villainous figure to the MAGA policy implementation, is because the D.C. courts are where D.C. executive orders and D.C. activity is litigated. So if you are going to, for example, take on Trump's executive order about opening the border wall, well, that's not going to be litigated in Arizona and Texas. That's going to be litigated in D.C. And the fact is therefore, who is on the other side presenting to the judge in these is extremely critical for implementing Trump's agenda. You need someone who is going to represent to those justices a full and zealous case for the government's position. And Ed Martin was a fighter through and through. One of the things, you know, Ed Martin talked about the Transition Integrity Project just on Tucker Carlson this week, and was hot on the entire Georgetown law nexus and the domestic color revolution plotting that was being done by Rosa Brooks and the whole cabal out of Georgetown with Mary McCord. The fact is these networks are a check on Trumpism. And I think Tom Tillis jumped on the grenade. But the fact is as you put on that list of 26 other folks in the U.S. Congress, I think that there were several other senators who were having back-channel conversations with Tom Tillis so that he would jump on the grenade and they would be relatively clean. John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, could have removed and replaced Tom Tillis from the committee in order to get a floor vote if he had wanted to. But he did not want to do that. Same thing we saw with others. John Cornyn initially, I believe, was resistant to saying that he would support Ed Martin. And then once it became clear that Tom Tillis was going to jump on the grenade and block it out of the committee, John Cornyn said, if it comes to the floor, I'll vote on it. But you never saw John Cornyn actually speak out against Tom Tillis's vote or put pressure in order to change that vote. So I think you have essentially this internationalist blob class of Republicans who are who essentially jumped on, you know, allowed Tom Tillis to be the fall guy for this, but they all wanted that as well. They did not want someone who was going to go after corruption at USAID. They did not want someone who was going to go after the bipartisan corrupt elements of the swamp. Because again, even something like the Transition Integrity Project, that domestic color revolution coup simulator, where they literally simulated invoking a breakdown on January 6th and then having Black Lives Matter serve as paramilitary street muscle, as if we were funding some Kosovar paramilitary group in order to fight the Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia in the 1990s. These were the analogies that they were giving, that we would effectively fund Antifa and Black Lives Matter right after the George Floyd riots had just happened. They were still playing out when they were doing these simulations. And this all serves as a check on Trumpism, which is what these international Republicans want. They want to get back in the Nikki Haley box. They want to get back on the George H.W. Bush, the George Bush, the John McCain, Mitt Romney, Nikki Haley box. They want to go back to Coke and Pepsi in terms of your only choices as a U.S. voter. And all of these, you know, aspects of bipartisan approved corruption that Trump is trying to clean up, they don't want that cleaned. And so they want someone in there who is not as aggressive, who is not as tuned in. And so they got rid of Ed Martin.
Mike, well, I could go on and on and on with you about this, but I want to make sure we talk about this angle of it. I do the best I can not to make myself sound like a complete quack, but when I look at the two assassination attempts of Donald Trump and I look at the circumstances around it, particularly the quick destruction of evidence on the first assassination attempt from spraying off the roof to cremating the body right away, Mike, I'll just come right out and say it. I believe elements inside of the United States government were involved in the attempted assassination of the Republican nominee for president of the United States of America. You're welcome to hang up right away if you think I'm a nutball, but does that sound crazy to you?
It doesn't sound crazy to me. I think that is a very considerable probability. The fact is all it would take is advanced knowledge and allowing it to happen. It would not take necessarily recruiting people to do it. If they simply had advanced knowledge from informants or from surveillance that these attacks were going to play out, all it would take would be somebody inside the Biden DHS or Biden FBI or Biden Justice Department or Biden CIA to say, we've been tipped off about this. Let's sit on this one. And then simply have a few back channel conversations, keep it tight hold. But the fact is, as I think that we've talked about, both of these shooters ran right through aspects of federal law enforcement and Biden admin intelligence worlds. On the law enforcement side, it was reported by, I believe, the New York Post that Matthew Thomas Crooks was training at the very same gun range as DHS HSI, who was actively recruiting and infiltrating Trump movement groups during January 6th. There's the famous case of Jeremy Brown from the Oath Keepers. Two DHS HSI agents arrived at his home about a month before January 6th and actively recruited him, threatened him that if he did not, as a Green Beret, join up with join up with HSI and become an informant, that he could have problems, but those problems would go away and he might be able to make some money from it if he became an informant. HSI, we later learned from Congress, or at least was testimony was published in a congressional letter on this, that HSI agents reportedly replaced almost half of the Secret Service agents in at the Butler rally. We're told because Secret Service had a diminished force because they were split between the NATO summit and a Jill Biden trip. So HSI is training at the Matthew Thomas Crooks gun range. All that would have taken is for them to see this Matthew Thomas Crooks guy putting a Trump face, for example, on a Trump bullet or talking to guys at the gun range. And then you've got an HSI connection there. HSI would have been in position to allow the shot to go through to the extent that they replaced Secret Service agents that day. So this whole thing could have been in-house with four or five people simply allowing it to happen. On the Ryan Routh case, it's even crazier. Ryan Routh was a part of a 501c3 Ukraine nonprofit network, the exact nonprofit network that is such a big part of the USAID presence in Ukraine. It was called the Volunteer Center of Ukraine, that he gave his card to Customs and Border Patrol in 2023 that he was the director of. They've denied that, but it was on his business card that he handed to Customs and Border Patrol. Customs and Border Patrol then referred an investigation on Ryan Routh in 2023 to DHS HSI. And according to Customs and Border Patrol, DHS HSI, quote, refused to investigate. Not declined, refused to investigate Ryan Routh. Now, Ryan Routh at the time was recruiting at least 5,000 by his own numbers of terrorist and extremist militia fighters from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, and Iran. Now, all four of those are highly CIA-inflected geopolitical conflict zones with intense U.S. military and intelligence pressure and infiltration of various militant networks there. And he was trawling WhatsApp and Telegram to get the front and back of over 5,000 passports of jihadi fighters in order to back channel with the U.S. Embassy in Kiev the ability to provide an increased military support for the U.S. Pentagon in Ukraine, so that these fighters who the CIA was backing when they were called the Mujahideen in the 1970s and 80s, now they're Al-Qaeda and ISIS, so that they, just as they fought the Russians during the Cold War, they would come back and fight the Russians in Ukraine, just as they were bombing the Russians, we're told, when ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack inside of Russia just last year that killed 135 people at a St. Petersburg theater. So the fact is this is a CIA network. This is a Pentagon network. This was flagged to DHS, and they did nothing. And, you know, this guy is a part of a sort of USAID adjacent 501c3 in Ukraine. I mean, it's like every single object on the pinball machine of the U.S. intelligence state. This guy just went bing, 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 bing through the whole thing for years, and then he ends up being the guy who's parked behind a bush at the Trump golf course, to take a clean shot on the U.S. president.
Good golly, Mike. I have to ask you before I let you go. I know it's a lot. It's a tight knot to untie, and it's going to take time. I get that. Do you think we're going to be able to untie at least a chunk of this during Trump's 4 years with guys like Ed Martin now in place? Do you think we have a chance at getting some of this, not just exposed, but accounted for?
Some of it. And a lot of it is personnel as policy. The fact that, for example, Pam Bondi has fired 15 of the J6 prosecutors. The fact that we have fired something like 14,000 folks at USAID. The fact that these funding grants are going to force a diminished capacity at the institutional level of many aspects of the blob if they go through, that's going to be the question. This is why during the period between inauguration and between election and inauguration, I kept stressing this concept of the Senate snakening, which was my belief that the Senate would end up snaking the president, and that much of White House strategy has to be geared towards coalition building within those internationalist sides of the Republican blob, because as I saw it, the biggest threat was the Republican side of the aisle, not the Democrat one. You have the votes. with a Republican-held House and Senate. The issue is the Bush era, McCain era, Nikki Haley adjacent side of the GOP. But you know that is going to be something that will be continually negotiated. There's much more leverage now than there was during the Paul Ryan speakership, when there were almost no Trump allies in Congress. Now I would say somewhere between 50% and 70% of the Republican Congress is more or less fully behind Trump. But the fact is 25% to 30% of the Republicans is enough to form a coalition with the Democrats in order to get their way on the budget, to get their way on funding cuts. But you know, there's a lot of tools in the toolkit, and I think that this admin is serious about deploying as many as is necessary.
I said that was the last question, but I lied, Mike. I just have to ask really quickly. Do you believe there are Republicans, because I definitely believe this, that are just flat-out blackmailed? I'm talking Netflix special blackmailed. Someone has something on them. Look, when I hear Ken Buck, who's retiring from Congress, he's retired now, when I hear him, who's about to retire, lovingly practically make out with Christopher Wray during a hearing where Christopher Wray is supposed to be held accountable. Honestly, I've listened to that clip 1,000 times, Mike. I hear somebody who has a file on them.
It's possible. I think that you can explain the exact same set of facts, though, in a, I don't want to say more benign, because in a way it's even more insidious, which is the simple economics of Congress. You don't make a lot of money in Congress. I'm actually not against significantly raising the pay of Congress, because I think the relatively low pay, you have all of this power and you're around people with so much money, and you see yourself, and you can't even afford private school for your kids while you are making these, you know, you're hobnobbing constantly all day with everyone who can. Everyone else is a relatively secure financial life, and here you are putting everything on the line if you're a bold member of Congress or you want to do serious reform. And you know that the moment you leave, you're already, you know, not making a particularly high salary given your influence and given the pressure on you. But then on top of that, when you get out, what are you going to do for a job when you have invested all of this in your career and you've got no, you know, significant financial prospects unless you convert that into something with the donor class? The fact is I actually think that the relatively low salary of Congress makes it so that it doesn't even require blackmail. It simply requires financial incentives. You are incentivized to do what Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and Pfizer and, you know, name your company if it's in the censorship space, what Google and Microsoft or Meta want you to do, what the telecom companies want you to do. You become, as Joe Biden put it himself when he was running for Senate at 29 years old, he called himself a prostitute, that he had to prostitute himself out to the credit card companies in Delaware. He had to prostitute himself out as the poorest person in Congress. And I think that you see this, and so simply being economically beholden to your donors is sufficient to get you to be pliant as a doormat, especially when these things are morally justified by your allies in the media, and so it doesn't weigh on your conscience as heavily. But the fact is I think those money networks have a sufficient explanatory power, but I would not be surprised if there were elements of blackmail and coercion as well.
Mike, as always, you're the best, brother. Come back soon, please. All right. We have final thoughts. I was going to say lighten the mood, but there's nothing light about this. Let's do some final thoughts next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. obviously the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How'd you sleep last night? Good? Bad? Is that a consistent thing for you, or is sleep a struggle? Listen, sleep's a struggle for people, I know. You look, there's a million pharmaceuticals you can get. Doctor will prescribe you something. Hey, take this, she'll put you to sleep. Or walk in any pharmacy, over-the-counter stuff. There, you take this to sleep, take this to sleep. What do all those things have in common? You've tried them, what do they have in common? You'll sleep. When you wake up, you feel like garbage. Every single time. The only thing I've ever taken in my life to sleep that had me waking up feeling rested and refreshed is Dream Powder from Beam. It's the only thing I've ever had. It's a cup of hot chocolate, delicious hot chocolate, mind you, but it's got a bunch of natural things in it, and that's really the difference, isn't it? It's natural sleep, in a way. Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly and try it. shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. All right, so I'm going to say something that probably make you mad. It's going to make me mad as we finish things up here. It does take time. It takes time to take apart any criminal organization. You don't snap your fingers and make it happen. If you're going after the Gambino crime family, you're not going to get indictments next week. You're not. It takes time. When the criminal organization is the United States government, it's going to take us time. That doesn't mean be patient. Just means understand it's going to take time. But as you heard Ed Martin say earlier in the show, demand they go faster. Even when sometimes you understand why they're not going faster. Still, whip them all the time. Faster, more, arrests. That's what we demand. Stay on them. We can save the country. We'll do it again.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.